So, Brother Larson, come and minister what the Lord's laid on your heart. God bless you.
Thank you. Love you too. Amen. Well, it's such a pleasure again to be with you. I say that, and I don't say that lightly. I mean it. I have been so enamored with the group here simply because you're somebody, you're a group of people that God has raised up from nothing, a scratch. I mean, it's wonderful to see. And I listen to the testimonies of what God is doing in your life. And I see the families and the individuals that are growing in the Lord. And this is what it's all about. Now, a lot of folk are more concerned about numbers and they're more concerned about quantity. I'm concerned about quality. Because I believe that our relationship with God brings us into a scene or into a situation where we don't have to remain the same. And if Christianity is simply walking down an aisle and saying, well, I've said what I needed to say and done what I needed to do, and that's the end of it, then I don't want to be involved. But when I come into a place like this and I see the lives that are being changed by the gospel, and I see some friends that I've known for several years and I've made new friends, I'm excited about what God is doing in the earth today. Because it's an impossibility to change a man's heart, or a woman's heart, or a boy's heart, or a girl's heart. And when you see those hearts changed and a new life and a new lifestyle beginning to emerge from that, that's what the gospel is all about. Amen?
Amen.
So I've got to tell you again, I've been thrilled to be here and looking forward to coming back sometime in the future. If you'll all have me back again, I'd love to. And we'll pray about it and let the Lord lead the pastor and the rest. But I just want to thank you, all of you, for the extra effort that you made this last weekend. I know it's Memorial Day weekend, and some folk, we got plans interrupted, and some of you put in so many extra hours. But I pray that God would bless you over and above your effort, and I want to say thank you for your faithfulness to the guests who've traveled and been here with us in the services and the everyday people. Everyday people? The everyday people? I guess we're all everyday people every day. But the local folk that are part of this church, thank you for your extra effort. And my thanks again to Brother and Sister Browning for being my friends and as well my brothers and sisters in the Lord. If you have a Bible, please this morning open it up to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And you can stand with me as we read the Word. 1 Corinthians 15. We'll be reading 9 verses, 1 Corinthians 15, starting in verse 50. And I promise this, I learned a long time ago that a message does not have to be eternal to be immortal. So I'm not going to keep you long, but that's relative, isn't it? In other words, that means absolutely nothing. But don't get worried. All right, verse 50, have you found it? All right, 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God. Neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, and then shall be brought to pass, said the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God. Thanks be to God this Sunday morning. Thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. This morning, I want to look briefly at our past, that is the believer's past. I want to investigate the promises of our future, And based on those truths that we find, I want to exhort you about your present. I'm going to say that again. I want to look briefly today at the believer's past. I want to investigate and discuss and preach and proclaim the promises of your future. And based on those promises and truths spoken, I want to exhort you in regard to your present. So I've entitled this simple message this morning, The Past, Present, and Future of the Believer. The Past, Present, and Future of the Believer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You for this service this morning, for the songs that have been sung, for the specials that have been proclaimed, the testimonies that have been given. Father, we'd ask now that the Holy Spirit would come and anoint me to preach this Word. Teach this Word, proclaim to Your people that which is needed, giving them ears to hear. And we'd ask it all in Jesus' name, everyone saying amen and amen. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I look at the words of the text that we just have read and understand that the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Corinth. Is a church that has many gifts. Is a church that was founded on the message of the cross. It is a church that has experienced attacks from the enemy. False teaching has inundated, as it will in every church, no matter how well founded. You would think that a church founded by the Apostle Paul would never have a problem, wouldn't you? But as long as there's people like you and I in any gathering of believers anywhere, we're going to have problems because all of us are susceptible to sin. And all of us, as the Bible says, oftentimes give way to the weight and the sin that does so easily beset us. And it just takes a little leaven to start leavening the whole of the lump, whether it's in an individual basis or a corporate basis. Just a little leaven begins to sneak in and destroy. Just a little leaven. It's the small foxes that destroy the vine. It's the little things that we don't pay attention to as we ought to that sneak in. And the next thing you know, we find ourselves in a place we never expected to be, doing things we never expected to do. And the church at Corinth was no exception to all of this. And the Apostle Paul would write and begin to correct it in regard to the focus and its object of faith in chapters 1 through 3. In chapters 4, 5, and 6, he dealt with specific problems involving sin. And he dealt with doctrine. He dealt with false apostles. And he had to deal with a false understanding or a faulty understanding of the resurrection as he does in this chapter. And so as he comes to the conclusion of his discussion on the resurrection, he talks to us a little bit about the kingdom of God. And he says that the flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So what we find out, and I pull from these words, flesh, blood, and corruption, a view of our past, if you'll allow me that freedom this morning. Flesh, blood, and corruption. Well, if that doesn't talk about the human race, I don't know what does. Flesh, blood, and corruption. This is where we've all come from. This is where we all begin. I know that in today's society, it's not prominent, it's not good to say that all men are sinners, that man is not intrinsically good. But the Bible teaches us that men are intrinsically evil, left to our own devices. Being born dominated by a sin nature, we don't get better and better and better. We don't grow more wise and less selfish. We grow more sinful. We grow more lustful. We grow more and more unlike the God that created us as time goes by. Man is not getting better and better. In our town of Baton Rouge, Louisiana, children have to walk through metal detectors to go to school. When I was growing up in Montana, we never even locked the front door. We never even thought you needed to, because murders and thievery, that was all done in the big city somewhere. But today, our nation is not headed in a right direction, and it should be evidence to us that men are not getting better and better. We're not not evolving into a better creation. Flesh and blood describes humanity, whereas corruption describes our moral attitude and descent prior to getting saved. Men are not morally good. Even the little grandma that lives across the street that bakes cookies for you on Thanksgiving, she's inundated with sin if she's never accepted Jesus Christ as her Lord and Savior. And while you may not see the evidence of immorality and debauchery and degrading sensuality moving through her being, God is the one who's in charge of it all, and He does see the downward spiral that involves every human being. Romans chapter 1 tells us there's a downward spiral of corruption that evolves around everyone who rejects God's offer of clemency, who rejects the witnesses of God, and counting themselves as wise, they have become foolish. Man, flesh, blood, and corruption. I know in my own life, flesh dominated the lifestyle. What I wanted to do, what I thought felt good, what I desired to do, that's what I did. Anything I was big enough to do and bad enough to get away with, that's where I went, that's how I lived, that was my lifestyle. Some of you, you know, if we shared testimonies, I would be shocked looking at the angelic faces before me this morning with the halos just a few inches above the ears. I would be shocked to find where you came from. You would be shocked to know where this preacher used to be and what he used to do. And I have no desire to tell you unless the Lord tells me I have to. But believe me, flesh dominated, drugs dominated, adultery and fornication dominated. I was just a part of the world system, going the world's way, didn't care about any kind of holiness or righteousness, thought I was right with God because I'd been in church as a young man, walked an aisle as a young man, was baptized as a young man, and they told me I was saved, and that's all that I needed to worry about. But my mind wasn't on God, my mind was on myself. My life wasn't about God, it was about myself. It was about my pleasure, it was about my goals, it was about my life, making me better, making me richer, giving me what I want. I wish I had an amen in the place. Flesh, blood, corruption. It was all about me and what I could gain for myself. Didn't matter who I hurt. Didn't matter how many lives I trampled, how many feelings I hurt, as long as I got my way. As long as I was pleased. Flesh, blood, corruption. That's where we came from. But somewhere, and we could go down the aisles and hear the different stories. Somewhere. Sometime, a voice called to a heart that was momentarily open. A voice reached us while we, Ephesians says, were dead in trespasses and sins. And if you have your Bible open, go over to Ephesians 2. You were dead in trespasses and sins. Dead. Listen, you were dead. I was dead, flesh and blood, no matter how much it looked like it was alive, was dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 2 says, wherein in time past ye, we all walked, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation, our lifestyle, in times past, in the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and we were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Verse 4, but God. But God. But God decided to interrupt the normal course of your life. And I could ask you how, and I could ask you where, and you should know at least the time frame, if not the exact moment. You should know maybe the day or the hour. Maybe you don't know and can't pinpoint it, but you know from point A there was a change, and now at point B that change has continued. But God, you were dead in trespasses and sins, filled with flesh and blood and corruption. You were separated from God. You were lost. You were undone. The pain of sin had begun to dominate your heart. But God, I said, but God. God interrupted your journey and interrupted mine. In the middle of the night, 2 o'clock in the morning, high on drugs, been doing alcohol and cocaine all day long, bored with nothing else to do, I opened up a Bible and began to read because I didn't have cable television and I didn't know what else to do. Wired from cocaine, being 3 or 4 days awake, sitting down and opening up the Bible and beginning to read, and it said, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, but God. Bam! Hit the heart of Lauren Larson. And by the time I traveled through 7 chapters of the book of Proverbs, I had found that I was doing everything that God hated, and the convicting power of the Holy Ghost came all over me, and by morning's light, there was a new creation in Christ Jesus. And I walked out and got into a pickup truck. I was working with a pool company that and walked out, and usually they knew what happened. I'd walk out and throw my 1.5s in my baggie on the dashboard and roll one as we went to the working site. Now, some of you don't know what that means, and that's better if you don't. But this morning, instead of throwing my 1.5s in my baggie a pot, I had a big old family Bible. It was like, you could kill Christians with it. It was about this big. That's all I had. I got into that pickup and threw that big old Bible up on that dashboard. My friend looked at me and said, what is that? I said, I got saved last night, but God. But God. But God. But God, who is rich in mercy, hallelujah. He's rich in mercy. Reach down. And the Bible says, and Pastor quoted it this morning, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. Verse 6, has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. One moment, lonely, broken, drug-induced, and bound by chains of darkness. And the next moment, baptized into Christ, buried with Christ, crucified with Christ, and raised up to sit with Him in heavenly places. But God, hallelujah. But God, hallelujah. I came to remind you of your past. If you're here as a believer this morning, there was a day where flesh and blood and corruption dominated you. You were outside of the kingdom of God. You were those that the Bible talks about that in fact were fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of mankind, thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, nor extortioners. And such were some of you. But now you are washed. But now you are justified. But now you are sanctified, because somewhere down the line you changed your view from you to an old rugged cross. And on it was the Son of Man, the Son of God, who died for you and gave His life for you. You didn't know anything, but you knew you needed a Savior, and you accepted Him. And He's brought you into the kingdom. Hallelujah! Glory to God! You're a fanatic. You're crazy. Church is not just a place you go. It's a place where you learn about the Savior that you live with 24/7. It's not just a place that you put in an hour of time once a week. It's a place where you go to be encouraged in your relationship with God that is ongoing 24/7. That's where I knew the difference between religion and relationship. Because in my old church growing up, as soon as I went out the door, so did any thoughts of God. But when I was born again and truly changed, God was with me in the morning. It was God in the afternoon. It was God in the mid-afternoon. It was God in the early evening. It was God in the wee hours of the morning. I'd wake up crying in my bed in Nashville, Tennessee, newly saved, newly changed, saying, God, I'm not going back. God, I'm not going back. By Your grace, I'm not going back. I'm just here to remind you what it is that He's done for you. And if you're sitting in the house this morning and you've never experienced what I've just extolled to you, before you leave this place this morning, you can get what I've got. You can get what others have experienced. Don't leave with religion. Leave in Christ Jesus this morning. We were flesh and blood, unable to inherit the kingdom. But He's made us far more. That's our past. Oh, I could talk about it, but we know what was there, and we know what we have now. We know what the difference is. Sometimes we forget because we step away. It's good to remember every now and then where we came from, not to abide there, not to stay there, not to say I want to stay living there, but just to be reminded that the good old days were not so good. We don't need to go back to Egypt for the leeks and the onions. Leeks and the onions are no great meal, especially when they're accompanied with the lictor's lash and bondages and flesh and blood and corruption, but that's our past. Whatever your story, that's your past. Or perhaps it's where you are now. The believer's future is described, Paul going into, again, back to 1 Corinthians, Paul going into it tells us this, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump. For the trump shall sound, the dead shall be raised, and we shall be changed. That is your future. I know you're thinking about day off, but you may not get there. This may happen before Monday happens. This is your future. This is your future. And I know today's world, church, well, everybody argues about, well, is it post-trib, pre-trib, mid-trib? Does it really matter? Yes, it really matters. The Bible tells us plainly that if we don't understand what is going to happen, it's easy for us to be tripped up. And in fact, in Timothy, there were people that didn't understand their future. And because of that, their faith was overthrown. So don't sit still on eschatology. Get into the Word and figure out what it says. And I can tell you, wherever you go, you're not going to get away from 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, which gives us the details of this. Flip over there, please, would you? I want you to have a view of your future. I want you to remember your past, but I want you to review your future. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that means those that have died, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. 1 Thessalonians 4:13. For if we believe that if we believe, then this is your future. If we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also which sleep in Jesus will God bring with Him. There is coming an hour when the trump of sound and God is going to return. Christ Jesus is going to return, and with Him will be every saint that we've ever known that passed by the way of the grave prior to His coming back for His children. When He comes back, He's coming back with the others. They will not be prevented. Death will not prevent them to die. Now means that you are instantly swept into the presence of the Lord. There is no death for the believer. There's only a change of existence from this mortal coil into the immortality and eternity with Jesus Christ. But when He's ready to call away His church and take His church out of this world, He's going to come with the sound of a trumpet, with the sound of a shout. Verse 15, for this we say unto you by the word of the Lord. This is going to happen. Be looking for this to occur. Get ready. This is about to occur. There's nothing left in prophecy, left to be fulfilled. There's nothing required in the Bible. This could happen before we get out of church today. I could be on a plane heading back to Baton Rouge this afternoon and never make it. But this much I know. I'll see my children and my wife and my grandson in heaven. But if I don't make it back to Baton Rouge, I want you to be sure of your future. I want you to be looking forward to what God has got for you. Listen, we get rid of this, it's a whole lot better over there. I know we don't think it because we don't preach it anymore, but He is still, His returning is still the blessed hope. It's going to be better over there than it is here. I said, it's going to be better over there than it is here. That boggles our mind. We don't hear this preached anymore. But maybe, just maybe, gas prices causing us to worry a little bit, and income being shaken a little bit, and groceries doubling in price will make us think a little less about here and a little more about over there. Because you can't get a church that's involved with here over there. You can't get them concerned about being over there or taking anything else over there with them. There's only two things you're going to take into heaven, and that's your faith and your neighbor. Your faith and your neighbor, if you took the time to share what it is that you have. But your future, ladies and gentlemen, is round up in verse 14. We see it, or 15. He says that the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent or hinder them that are asleep. Listen, here's your future. For the Lord Himself, shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up, shall be caught up. What's that? Doesn't matter where you are or what you're doing. Instantly, boom, you're gone. No longer clothed in this mortal coil. No longer clothed with a body that has bulges and bunions and all the rest of the accoutrements that come along with age. No more wrinkles. No more lack of hair. No more extra pounds. If I haven't got my fingers back before then, I'll get them then. But I'm getting them back. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall all be changed. Hallelujah! That's your future. That's your future. That's your future. And what you have to look forward to and what you can bring other people to is far greater than what you could ever find here now. We've forgotten our future, and when we forget our future, we forget to be sojourners. Sojourners are people that are just traveling through. We're setting up a temporary tent. We forget that this is all temporary. And the things that are really eternal and the things that matter and will go on forever and ever are all in the future for the believer. Life has been so good for some of us, we've left Jesus by the wayside because we forgot about our future. And we forgot to give it credence. We forgot to give it time. We forgot to look forward to it. Man, when I was a kid growing up, I couldn't wait for my birthday. When I was a kid growing up, I couldn't wait for, you know, birthday number 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. Man, I'm getting something. I look forward to that day because I knew when that day came, man, I was getting whatever I asked for if mom and dad could afford it. I was getting something special. I was having friends over. We were having a party. We're going to rip it up outside, rip it up inside. Man, I was looking forward to that day. It was a day that I longed for. It was a day I hoped for. It was a day I talked about, made sure everybody knew what it was that I wanted before that day came. Because I knew that if I didn't talk about what I wanted, I might get something I didn't want. You know, when you look forward to something, you talk about it. When you look forward to a few days off, you talk about it. When you look forward to doing this or doing that, you talk about it. Because you're looking forward. That's your future. And you want to experience that. You want it to be... Am I getting across to you? Let me ask you, how much are you talking about your future in the Lord? It'll show how much you're looking forward to it. It'll show how much you're expecting it. It'll show, I'm not trying to convict you, I'm trying to convince you today that you have a future that's worth talking about. And you have a future that's worth working for. You have a future that's worth headed toward. You have a future that's greater than anything you'll ever experience here. And you need to look forward to it. It is your blessed hope. And when the trump of God sounds and Jesus descends for His church in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. Corruption will put on incorruption. Mortality will put on immortality. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. That might not excite you today, but I hope that you grow into it a little bit. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, that then we'll say, death, where is thy sting? Then we'll say, grave, where is thy victory? Death, defeated, no sting, no pain, no fear of death. The sting of death is sin. But he says, verse 57, but thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory. This morning, you should be living in view of your past and saying, thanks be to God for the victory. You should be looking forward to the future and saying, I've read the last page of the book and we win. I've read where I will be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye and I win. And I'm looking forward to the future. But when I see my past and how Jesus in the cross has dissipated the penalty of sin, broken the power of sin, and freed me from the bondage of sin, and I look forward to my future, which is existence forever in eternity with the Master, the presence of God that we feel and sense occasionally in this world will be nonstop. We're going to need a glorified body just to be able to live in that presence. Just to be able to experience it. And even then our response won't be, oh Lord, here I am, pick me. It'll be, take the crown off of your feet, roll it down at His feet, bow down before Him and say, Lord, I'm not worthy. His presence in the future is so great and our future is so secure that it should affect the believer's present. Therefore, verse 58. Therefore, because of all of these truths, therefore, based on the truth that we're headed towards an eternal change, an eternity with God, therefore, based on the truth that Jesus has won the victory for us over death, hell, sin, and the grave. Therefore, based on the truth that the gospel is true, and you have been born again, and you have been changed, and because you have a home in heaven, therefore, my beloved brethren, because you are beloved of God, accepted by God, the children of God, therefore, my beloved brethren. What now? Labor. Well, y'all got quiet on me. Come to think of it, you've been quiet on me. I'm still trying to get you shouting. Like the little kid in the back seat in the car. I know what you're like. Little kid in the back seat of the car getting in trouble because he's standing up. And his dad says, sit down. He sits down. A few minutes later, he's standing up again. Sit down. You're going to get hurt. Little boy gets mad. But 3 minutes later, dad says, Johnny, you don't sit down for the last and final time. I'm going to have to turn you over my knee. And little Johnny sat down. You know how kids are, you know. After a while, his dad looks in the rearview mirror, sees a great big old smile on Johnny's face. So, Johnny, what are you smiling about? He said, in my body I'm sitting down, but in my mind I'm standing up. See, and I haven't heard you shouting, but I know inside you're standing up. But what we need to understand is that this is a time for labor. Look at what Paul said at the close of verse 58 where I get the word labor. Know you that your labor is not in vain in the Lord, and we're coming back to that. But if we know what about our past and how great God has changed things for us, and we know about future benefits that we're going to have, what should our present be now? It's to labor for the Lord. It's to, okay, I didn't get any shouting on that. Maybe we need to remember, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which you have of God, and we are not our own. For we are bought with a price. Therefore, our labor now is to glorify God in our body and our spirit, which are the Lord's. In our present tense, church, we've come to the realization we need to that we're not our own. This gathering together of believers may seem insignificant to the world, but it is not insignificant to God. You may get weary as it seems that there's not enough change or not enough influence, but God is getting you ready for something. God is preparing you for something if you will stand the pull of preparation. God has brought you out of something, either religion or the world, and He is preparing you for a work. He's working in you right now as a result of the message of the cross. He's changing you. He's conforming you into His image. But He has a job for you to do, and your job is to take this message and live it out and declare it by word and testify of it through the Bible to the world that lives around you. You should have no other major goal. You are bought with a price, and you are not your own. Your life is now given over to the Lord and the proclamation of His gospel and the living out of Christ living through you. Not everyone. Go ahead. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Not every one of you is going to be standing up here being a singer. Somebody's going to be a greeter. Not everybody's going to stand behind a pulpit and teach. There are some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, and some teachers. But when the pastor is teaching the right word, when the gifts to the body are preaching the right word, your lives are affected. And Ephesians 4 and 12 says, then you go out and do the work of the ministry. The growth of this church is not on the back of pastor. His job is to edify you. It's your job to get full of God and go out and share your faith with the people you rub shoulders with. It's your job to invite him to church. He doesn't see him, you do. It's your job to open up your mouth and tell him the reason for the hope that lies within you. It's your job to say to your friends, neighbors, and family, come on over, we're having church. We're in a Seventh-day Adventist church. Don't be confused, we meet there on Sunday. It's your job to do the inviting. It's your job to be the witness. It's your job to have so much of Jesus in you that without pulling up a scripture or even having a bumper sticker on the back of your car, people know that there's something different about you. Not everybody has the same job. Not everybody will labor in the same field. But we all have the responsibility of letting Christ live through us and then find our place in the body of Christ. Find our position in the body of Christ. And whatever it is, whether we wanted it to be that or not, let it be that. I had a friend in Nashville said, I'm the armpit of the body. I thought, well, everybody needs one. Might not be the most glorious in your mind. But every one of you as a member of this church have been granted the opportunity to be a part of something special. And you must not lose sight of the vision of the Lord's body. Don't lose sight of the vision of growing other people up in the Lord. Teaching young people how to live in a world in which morality is the thing of the past. To stand up and say homosexuality is still wrong even when they declare it a hate crime. To stand up and say wrong is wrong and right is right and I'm not perfect, but I'm in Christ. And I'm being changed because the power of God's grace is moving through me as a result of my faith in the cross. I'm not in religion, I'm in relationship. I'm not perfect, but I'm being perfected. I'm not all that I want to be, but I'm not what I used to be. And if you want to come along for the ride, come on out to community, our Crossway Community Fellowship. You have a responsibility and a position. God has planted you here for a reason. Your skills and your abilities add something to this local body that nothing else can add and no one else can do your job. It's designated by God for you. From the nursery workers to the greeters to the people that clean the floors and clean the toilets. You say, well, that's not important. They had it all in the tabernacle. Every single person assigned a specific job. And the only ones that got in trouble were the ones that didn't like their jobs. like Korah. Korah wanted Aaron's job. Korah wanted Moses' job. Your job is fine. Keep it. I said, your job is fine. Look for it. Your responsibility is greater than you know. You're not responsible to do my job, and I can't do yours. God doesn't have anybody waiting in the wings to step up if you don't step up and do your work and do your labor for the kingdom. And remember, we're not talking about laboring to get into heaven. Your future is secure. You know what your future has. You know where you've been and you know where you're going. My question this morning is, what are you doing with what you have now? Right now, today, not someday when we get bigger, someday when we have our building, someday when we have things, all of this, and someday when we have all of that. If you don't take care of the small stuff, you'll never get the big stuff. So the saint, go ahead, give the Lord praise. So wherever God has planted you, whatever gifts He's given you, whatever is coming out of you as a result of the message of the cross and God's grace forming you into something, then let that be the reason why you live. Let that be the reason for your present. You work to make a living. You have to. We all need money. You work to stave off the bill collectors, to pay the rent or the mortgage or the car notes. There's nothing wrong with that. But don't become entangled in the affairs of this life to the degree that you lose sight of why you now exist in the kingdom of God. Don't put Jesus last. Put Him first. Ask yourself, is this my life? When you find the place that God has called you to labor, therefore, because the gospel is true, therefore, because His mercy has saved you and drawn Him to yourself, therefore, because your future is including the rapture, the resurrection of the saints, and eternity with God, therefore, be ye steadfast. What's that mean? Steadfast means that you purpose in your heart to do what it is that God has called you to do. You are steadfast. You are settled. God give us churches of people that are steady, that will take a seat or a chair in their heart and say, this is where I belong and I shall not be moved. This is what God has given me to do. And even though I'm not patted on the back, or pastor doesn't recognize me, or I don't feel a claim, or I don't feel some of the anointing, and some days it gets a little weary, I know that I'm not working for pastor. I know that I'm not working for the applause of men. I know that I'm working for the one who died for me, and the only thing that I'm looking forward to hearing is, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast. Sit down in your chair, and if the devil saws off the legs of the chair, draw up your legs into the seat and say, I'm not moving. If the fire tries to burn down the building, stay where God has placed you. Purpose it in your heart. Become not just steadfast, but unmovable. They can't shake me. They can't get rid of me. If they change my job in the church, I'm not going to be offended and stomp out the door like it belonged to me. I'm going to be where God has placed me to be, no matter what God has placed me to do. Man, I know about this. I've been let go from Jimmy Swagger Ministries twice because they couldn't pay me. But God paid me. I said, God paid me, and God put it in my heart, you stay right where you are, don't you move. I said, yes, Lord. And I kept going to prisons, and after 8 years in prison, preaching and teaching 5, 6, 8, 10 nights a week, six nights a week I'm in prison. 6 days out of the week I'm in a prison. 8, 10 years. God, what are you doing? I'm loving it because I'm preaching. Let me tell you, I'm not doing anything different now than I am then. I'm still doing the same job. But then, 1992, Brother Swigert called me up and said, Lauren, have you ever thought about taking over the choir and the praise and worship team? I said, no. He said, well, do you want it? I said, I'll pray about it. God led me into it. I did it for 5 years. At the end of 5 years, we found another praise and worship leader. After 5 years of me doing the praise and worship every Sunday at Family Worship Center, Sunday morning, Sunday night, me and Ted Garrett, we just started Sun Life Radio about then, in 1992 to 1997 as I was doing it. And, in 97, he came up with a new praise and worship leader. I don't even know if you would not probably know. His name was Marvin. A African-American brother could sing the stars out of the sky. And Brother Swigert gets up on a Sunday morning and says, man, I've been praying for somebody just like this. And I'm thinking, what am I, squash potatoes? And you get your feelings hurt. Because all of a sudden, what you thought you were doing better than anybody could ever do, come on, help me here. You know how we are. What you thought you could do better than anybody could ever do, he says, man, I've been praying for somebody just like that. I'm thinking, well, he must have been trying to pray me out because, but it wasn't that at all. There was somebody better suited to fit the bill. And I said, God, I'm not going to get angry. I'm not going to get all upset. I'm going to deal with the emotions that I feel and the rejection I feel. And I'm going to be steadfast and I'm going to be unmovable. You can't shake me. I'm a part of this and I don't know where it's going and I don't know what I'm going to be when I grow up. But when I get there, I'm still going to be in Christ Jesus. 6 months later, the head of the Bible College in 1997 decided he was going to the Philippines. Said bye-bye in a quick and undeserving way to the ministry. And Brother Swigert gave me a call and said, would you mind taking over the Bible College? Would I mind? I'm scared to death. I don't know what to do. But you know what? If I wouldn't have been steadfast and unmovable and work through the emotion, I'd have never got the upgrade that God intended for me. See, He's got to take you out of something old before He can get you into something new. And if you're not willing to be changed and your spirit's all haughty and up about who you are and what you think you need to do the rest of your life, you'll never get what God has intended. 1999, I stepped away from the music completely because of work and the job and the school was so much. 2001, I started to travel. I started to have the opportunity to be on Sun Life Radio. Today, my voice is heard on 12 to 1 o'clock Central Time all over the world on the Sun Life Radio Network. And I'm nothing but humbled. But I can tell you, I'm not boasting on me. I'm telling you this, if you'll stay steadfast, unmovable, God will advance you to where He wants you to become. Don't get shaken when things happen you don't understand. Don't get mad at a pastor and walk out the door. What seemed to be a demotion may be the door for a promotion if you'll take it right. Somebody say amen. Steadfast. Steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding. You know what that means? Just when you think you've done everything you can ever do, given every minute of every time that you've ever given, just at the point when you're saying, I can't do anymore, add something else. Say yes to one more thing. Always abounding. Go beyond. You know, one thing I've found about God is that He keeps asking me to go a little bit further. And I think, God, I can't add that to my schedule. It'll kill me. It's already tough enough being away from the family twice a month. It's already tough enough running the Bible college, teaching at FCA, teaching at the Bible college, trying to develop this and do that. And it's already enough. It's enough. And these little words, always abounding. When you think you can't do much more, and the Holy Spirit guides you. You don't just work to work. Don't exhaust yourself. But finding yourself in a position where the Holy Ghost is saying, add this. You know the voice, don't you? You recognize it. Add this. I'm busy on Saturday. Add this. I've got plans. Add this. Steadfast. Unmovable. Always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you're bought with a price. You're not your own. Don't work and try to earn something from God. That's not what I'm saying. Be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And when He leads you into the addition of something, then let that be what He wants. Ask Him how to do it. Go to the pastor and say, I'm feeling this. Pray with me about it. And he might just fool you and say, I've been praying for somebody to do just that. Or he might say, I don't know what to do. Let's pray about it a little bit further. But respond as God guides you. Don't just think of things to do. The Bible says that His yoke is easy and His burden is light. Even though it's always abounding and my schedule seems overwhelming, if I'm in the will of God, the grace of God is there to complete it through me. Steadfast. Crossway Community Church, Crossway Community Fellowship. Be steadfast. Unmovable. Unshakable. Planted by the river of water, bringing forth your fruit in its season, always abounding unto the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain. Every life sitting in this church this morning that's been changed by the power of the gospel that's preached from this church testifies that your bathroom cleaning is not in vain. Testifies that your extra effort, your extra giving, your extra work with the CDs, the extra work with the sound, the bathrooms, the praise and worship, all the extra time, every life that's sitting here changed this morning testifies that your labor is not in vain. I worked in prisons for 10 years. And it was close to 6 nights a week I was in a prison somewhere. In prison, men, women get out, they move away, they leave, they're released, they go off to another prison. And even though I saw many men baptized in the Holy Spirit, many men and women saved, young people born again, changed, once they left the prison, you never heard from them. It was very rare that any would move into your community, and we have some that have. I have a few. But by and large, you never really heard what happened after. And I guess I'd been doing it for 6 or 7 years. And it's a young brother by the name of Sam, and I won't mention his last name. He was in prison for 12 years and he got saved under my ministry. And in another church or in another prison where he was transferred to, where we had another ministry there, he was baptized with the Holy Ghost with the initial physical evidence of speaking in other tongues. He left out of that prison on fire for God and moved back to Florida. And the first year he was gone, I thought about him and wondered how he was doing. And at the end of the year, when he got out, the anniversary of his release from prison, I got a phone call at my house. Brother Lauren, this is Sam. I just want you to know I'm down in Florida. I'm working on a shrimping boat. I'm still saved, filled with the Holy Ghost, loving Jesus. And if it weren't for you, I wouldn't know him. And a year would go by on the anniversary of his release. I'd get a phone call. Brother Lauren, this is Sam. I'm still living for Jesus. I'm still working on the shrimping boat. I'm still full of the Holy Ghost. I found a wife, going to get married. She's full of the Holy Ghost too. And if it wasn't for you, none of this would be happening. Just call to say I love you. Thank you. Next year, Brother Larson, this is Sam. I just called to tell you, I'm still living for Jesus. Still filled with the Holy Ghost. Married with a woman that loves God. Still working on that stupid shrimp boat. But if it weren't for you, none of this would have ever happened. Year after year, probably for almost 10 years, and then Sam hasn't called for a while. But you know what? You know what I know? Wherever Sam is still living for Jesus. He's still filled with the Holy Ghost. His life is still dedicated to the Lord, and he's probably still on that stupid shrimping boat. But my labor is not in vain. Every plane trip, every motel room, every meeting, if I can plant one truth into your heart that stays for eternity, my labor is not in vain. And if you can make one comment to one neighbor that brings them into the relationship with God, you can make one CD, you can sing one song, you can pray one prayer, you can come one night when you didn't feel like it and pray with somebody at this altar, and they'll turn around and say, if it wasn't for you, when you get to heaven, there'll be people that'll come you didn't know, that'll say, if it wasn't for you, my beloved brethren, Crossway Community Fellowship, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For you know that your labor is not in vain. Amen. Would you stand with me, please? Pastor, I'm going to turn it immediately to you. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah to the Lamb. Heavenly Father, how we thank you for the words that we've heard this morning. And Lord, it's been beautifully expounded unto us. And it's been a glorious reminder that anything you use us to do, no matter how small it may be in the eyes of other people, it's never small in your eyes if it advances your kingdom. And Lord, I thank you for the spiritual boost we've been given today through this glorious reminder that we're just not down here running amok. When any function we do it for the furtherance of the gospel. Your eye is on it, and it's going to touch and change lives for all of eternity. Lord Jesus, we just give you all praise and glory and honor today. And Lord, I thank you that you're using us. That you're using this body, that you're using everyone that's under the sound of my voice right now. We have one common goal in mind. To bring this glorious gospel to everyone we come in contact with. And Lord, we are not responsible for the results of the message. We are only responsible to deliver the correct message. And leave it up to your Holy Spirit after that. But Lord, we thank you that you're using us and that our efforts are bearing fruit for the kingdom of God that we may never know nor see until that glorious trump sounds that Brother Larson has spoken so eloquently of and we meet the Lord in the air with the tens of millions of saints that he'll bring with him when he comes. And I believe more people than we could ever realize at this point in time are going to be there to tell us those words. Thanks for what you did for furthering the gospel. For because of it, I made it in and I'm here now. Glory to your name, Lord Jesus. How great thou art. Lord, our souls are singing this morning. How great thou art. This is not about any of us, Lord Jesus. It's all about you. Let's just sing that song together before we're dismissed. Oh, Lord, my God, when I in awesome wonder consider all the worlds thy hands have made. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. The rolling thunder. Thy power. You, yes, Lord. Then sings my soul, my Savior God to thee. How great thou art. How great thou art. Then sings my soul. Jesus. I just feel the Holy Spirit directing me now. But there are some of you, under the sound of my voice this morning, you came here facing a trial that you feel has been about to take you under. Your back's to the wall, maybe, and you've wondered, God, where are you? The Holy Spirit wants you to know right now, God is with you. Oh, God, thank you. I feel the Holy Spirit moving mightily right now. He is with you. And secondly, I feel with every fiber of my being, He wants you to know this morning that He is going to take you through. Oh, glory to God. You do not serve a Jesus that's in the halfway business. He who hath begun a good work in you is going to see it through to completion. He's not going to leave you off halfway. Glory to God. And as we sing this song one more time, I want you to think about His power. I want you to think about His glory. And I want you to think about He who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Never forget, church, this song we're singing this morning about He who spoke the stars and the sun into being is the same power that's indwelling you as a child of God. Glory to the Son of God this morning. One more time, let's sing it with hands raised and hearts believing Him for whatever you may have need of today. One more time, Michelle. Oh, Lord, my God, when I, in awesome wonder, Lord, in the name of Jesus right now, everyone who's had their back to the wall, whose trial seems to overwhelm them, let the power of God fall on them right now. Give them fresh faith to believe you, Lord. Give them a revelation of your presence in their life. And give them a reminder of your power that will never fail them. That will never leave them. That you're not a halfway Jesus. You're an all the way Jesus. And what you've started in them, you're going to complete. Devils can't stop it. Demons can't stop it. Religion can't stop it. Nothing can stop the work of God from proceeding and completing in their life. in the name of Jesus. How great thou art! How great thou art! Hallelujah! Glory to God. Give me my hand of praise this morning. Glory to God. Glory to God. Oh, I feel fresh faith in this building this morning. Believe Him. He's for you. Believe Him. Praise God. Hadn't this been a wonderful time of revival? Give the Lord a hand of praise for what we've heard. You know, when I was an evangelist, I learned that there was one goal I had in every meeting, and that was to edify the saints of God. Now, there are certainly many evidences of revival taking place, but the greatest thing that can happen in a revival is that the saints of God be edified in the Lord Jesus Christ. And many wonderful things are going to be ensuing if that happens. And I know I can say this revival, the saints of God have been edified and built up in their faith in Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you so much, Brother Larson, for being sensitive to the Holy Spirit in every message and in every word you've uttered. You've blessed our souls. I'm going to dismiss you in prayer now and pray you enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend. Many of you I know are still going out of town places. Just be safe. Have a wonderful time. Please come back and be with us on Wednesday night if you can. We're going to be continuing our comprehensive study on the book of Genesis. I believe the Lord's showing us some wonderful things, and the Holy Spirit's moving mightily through the teaching of the Word of God. Come out and be with us if you can. Let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, how we thank you today for the words, once again, that we've heard that have been words that were Spirit-led and Spirit-directed, that have edified us in Christ Jesus, that have reminded us of our past, present, and future in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. And Lord, it's a glorious future. As Brother Larson so beautifully said, may we evermore focus on our future and remember this world is not our home. Our citizenship is in heaven. And Lord Jesus, we ask you to keep us in your care until we meet again. In your holy name we ask and pray. Amen and amen.